So as Himani mentioned, my name is Mandira. I'm part of the finance team at Microsoft. So I am not part of the sales organization. I am not here to sell you anything. I'm here to simply tell you ways in which we use our own technology and leverage Microsoft products to run finance internally at Microsoft. And you know, hopefully you'll get a few ideas and some thoughts on what could be relevant for you. I'd just like to add to the question that was in the previous session. Bhaskar downstairs has just announced that one of the data center locations for Microsoft is actually in this city, in Pune itself. So, you know, to answer your question, towards the end of the year, we expect our data centers in India to be up and running. I'm taking the liberty of repeating what he's just said a while ago. So that's just a little bit on that. All right. Before we get into what will largely be a demo-based session today, I just want to take a few minutes to give you a little bit of context. I have been with Microsoft for over 8 years now, both in finance and sales operations roles. And just to give you an idea, everything I knew about the company when I joined or learned about Microsoft when I joined is redundant. Our product sets have completely changed. I mean, Azure, what we are spending so much time talking about, did not even exist a few years ago. If we think of you know, the way we sell to customers, our licensing constructs have gone through multiple changes in the last few years. The metrics and the views of the business that were important to us earlier have completely changed now. So a simple thing like deployment. You know, yes, we were always concerned about deployment, but if I look at something like Azure, if customers are not consuming the service, they're not going to pay us for it. So, you know, the way we look at the business has changed, our products has changed, our, you know, what the businesses which are growing versus businesses which are not growing, the whole complexion of the business has completely changed for us. And, you know, I'm sure that's true for a lot of you in the room today. And the pace at which our business environments are changing is so fast that I think as finance, we have a very, very important role to play. Just as, you know, strategic advisors to the business, making sure that we are providing the lens of the business that is required for growth, you know, for you know, identifying opportunities, identifying risk areas. And that's where I think we get stuck, because we don't always have the kind of intelligence and the kind of analytics that we really need to, you know, to be those partners to the business. And usually when we think of those kind of scenarios, we start thinking of these very complex, you know, BI kind of solutions, which are, you know, deployment intensive or cost investment intensive. And what we found is a lot of answers to these kind of problems were basically sitting in products and solutions that we were already using. And, you know, what we've done is use more of what we already had, you know, rather than try and you know, try and do something very, very different, and use the familiar environments of the products and technologies that most finance people are familiar with, you know, to try and get to where we need to be. So with that, there's a clicker on the button. If you look at where finance people end up spending time, most of the time, you know, we meet people who say that their time is primarily spent on just collecting data and just trying to ensure they have the right data to have the conversations. And the amount of time that should be spent on really trying to derive any kind of intelligence and insights out of that information is usually not as much as you'd want it to be. And I'm not saying that at Microsoft we are perfect. We all have, you know, it's a journey for everyone. But I genuinely feel that compared to a lot of environments I've worked in prior to Microsoft, we are able to spend a lot lesser time on just getting data and spend a lot more time on the intelligence and insights that we want to give to the business. And let's talk of some of the things which hold us back usually. If I were to look back at my time prior to Microsoft, if we wanted a dashboard to be built for the business leadership, we'd usually have to work with IT, you know, give them the specs of the views that we want. and IT would go back, work on those requests. By the time they came back, something had changed, you know, and you wanted to add a dimension, or you know, a particular view of the business was no longer relevant. And each time we wanted to make those kind of changes, you have to keep going back to IT. And one of the things which is very different that I see at Microsoft is IT helps us manage the core of our data. So they manage data quality and accuracy and security and access related pieces. But as end users, we have a lot of flexibility on the fringe. So, you know, as finance, we feel incredibly empowered that most things that we need, we are able to do and build and create without having to depend. So the IT organization has helped us create that kind of an environment where users don't have to keep going back to IT for everything that they need. The second thing, again, you know, like I said, the whole thing of data, you know, how do you get access to data in an easy way so you can spend more time on insights rather than extracting information? And then how do you really make business reviews more, you know, intelligent conversations where we are really, you know, partners to the business rather than, you know, just presenting data that we've just about managed to get hold of? If I break it down into a few steps, and this is really my last slide, I'm going to jump right into demos after this. I just like you to keep in mind this framework because most of the demo will speak to this this slide. Access is, I think, the core of it. How do you access data in a very simple way at the click of a button, data that you know is accurate, and you know, you never ever have that situation of sitting in a business meeting where somebody says, oh, that data is wrong. And you know, your whole conversation just heads southwards after that. And I think a lot of us at various points in our life have been at the receiving end of that data is wrong. And you know, I'll talk a little bit about how, you know, we find ourselves not getting into that situation. In Microsoft, we are basically able to access a lot of information simply through Excel front ends. So as finance, I have access to all kinds of revenue related information, P&L related information, literally right down to a journal entry level. So I have no idea what our ERP system looks like. I've never had to run a query directly onto my ERP system, extract a text file, convert it into Excel or anything like that. We are able to directly access a lot of information through a simple pivot table kind of a view for any kind of ad hoc analysis, right down to you know, headcount, discounting, a whole ton of information through pivot tables itself. The second problem that a lot of us face is on integration of data. And you know, if I just go back to our situation at Microsoft, and they take the example of the Azure business, for instance. This is a very new product in relative terms, you know, to the life of the company. And I will safely say that our IT systems have just not kept pace. So what's happening right now is that if I want to analyze the Azure business, we literally have to go to 12 different data sources. So I have revenue coming from, you know, our invoicing system. I have our pipeline sitting in the CRM. We have our utilization or consumption of Azure coming from, you know, another commerce platform. We have, you know, other customer penetration related data coming from somewhere else. And if we really want to get a sense of what this business is about, it's practically 10 to 12 different data sources. And when we went back to, you know, our headquarters to say, okay, you know, what can you do to help? The, you know, the usual answer, if you look at a, you know, a large organization trying to manage 90 countries, will be, yes, it's coming, hang on, you know, and we will give you a time frame by which you'll get it. And unfortunately, you know, you can't wait, and the business has certain requirements that you need to fulfill. And we were able to, through simple, very, you know, through very simple power pivots within Excel itself, integrate, as I said, you know, literally 10 plus data sources into a very, very compact reporting form and factor, which everyone in the business, right down from our you know, sellers to our leadership team, you know, is able to view, you know, what they need to understand how the Azure business runs. And I think we'd all agree there's nothing more compelling and powerful than visuals to really, you know, drive home a point on what's going well, what's not going well, and really tell a story on how the business is faring. So I'm going to now walk you through these three stages and just give you some examples of what we do. As I said, you know, it's something that's working for us. I'm hoping that, you know, you can take away some thoughts on what might be interesting for you in your environment. Excuse me, it's not replicating what's on my machine. Okay, so this is an example of the first piece that I spoke to you about, where through, you can see it's a simple Excel table. It has a pivot table here, which has some, you know, in this case, revenue related information available. As you can see, I have revenue. I can go into my financial systems, right down to my journal entry level. So if I want to analyze anything on my P&L, I can do that. I can access my headcount, so all my people-related information is available in this instance itself. So, for example, if I were to pick revenue, actual revenue, we've got budgets loaded in here. I've got my forecast in here. You know, which customers am I purchasing from? In this case, for example, if I look at geography, now because I have access to worldwide Microsoft revenue, I can see, you know, every country that we operate in, everybody else in the subsidiary is likely to only see India. So your security, your access to information is managed at, you know, through a secure layer which ensures that you only see what you are entitled to see. And if I just scroll through some of these, you'll just get a sense of the fact that literally, you know, every single data point that I can practically want from a revenue standpoint is available here. So, you know, is it an enterprise agreement? So if I were to say click on enterprise agreements, which is one of our licensing structures, it now only shows me, you know, data relevant to an EA. And I can go to product, I can go to my, you know, segment hierarchy. So it's just very, very easy. All I need to do is select the fields that I want and either run a query or queue it for a later date, or I can simply put in, you know, a recurring rhythm which simply says every day when I come in the morning, please make sure, you know, my query is refreshed and ready. Or if I want it weekly or monthly, I can simply set it up and it will send me an email saying your query is refreshed. So this is literally, you know, the one way that we ensure that there is just no parallel data floating around in the system. It's the one version of truth that every single individual gets to see in the organization. It's also powerful because nobody is depending on any other person to extract and send data. So we literally have sellers, you know, all over the organization who have their own little views of the business that they're entitled to see. And, you know, they refresh these queries, look at, like I said, you know, incredibly granular data that's available in a very simple Excel form factor itself. So there's no training, you don't need to really get into your ERP at all. There's a one-time connector that's been set up to our database. So that's just to give you an idea of the first access pillar that I spoke about. Now this particular view is what I spoke about, where we literally have data coming from 12 different reports. And using something called Power Pivot, which is again an inbuilt functionality in Excel itself, I can see actual revenue, how am I faring versus my target, what's the person's, you know, compensation target, how is it, you know, year on year, from a pipeline standpoint, do I have enough pipe? So if I have an individual in the organization who is missing their numbers, I can go and see, okay, in this particular territory, so for example, if I go to one segment, you know, in a particular region, go down to a seller level, I'll just let this refresh. So you can see, if you were able to catch the change, the data is basically changing as I would cascade those filters. So I can see, okay, here is an individual who is missing numbers. Okay, so let me go and see, do they have enough pipe? Some of these things are grayed out. These are actual reports that we use. We are using some dummy numbers, some grayed out. You know, is there sufficient pipeline that this individual has? Or is it that everything looks fine up till a certain quarter and then in the last quarter I don't have enough pipe? If I don't have enough pipe, I can then go and see, okay, how many accounts does this person manage? And how many of those accounts have purchased Azure from us? So I get a sense of, you know, what's the white space of customers that I could go after. I won't click on the drill downs. I will actually end up, you know, seeing some actual names. But if you actually click on some of these, it'll take you to those list of accounts which haven't procured Azure. So I know exactly what my white space is. I can then go and look at, okay, out of the customers who have procured, can I do something in terms of improving their utilization? So hence, they are more likely to come back and buy more Azure from us. Or if there are customers who are not, you know, using, they're low usage customers, what do I need to do to help those customers realize the benefit and the value of the investment that they've made in our technology? And a whole host of information. I won't get into the specific metrics, you know, top deals in the pipe, etc. And this is really something which completely changed our lives in the way we are driving accountability in this business, because we can now literally have a conversation at a seller level on a priority for the business, while at the same time, you know, provide to the leadership team the kind of insights that they need on, you know, this is going well or this part of the business is not faring well and here is where we need to focus attention. And this was really a business problem that we were sitting on a few months back, and you know, we simply used Power BI, you know, Excel functionalities to get some of these things done. The third thing, if we were to move to the visualization layer, I just want to show you an example of Power View, which is again a functionality built into Excel itself, where you're able to, with the Power Pivots, layer on a visualization layer. Now you'll see this is, say, a set of charts which have actual revenue, what's my variance to budget, a quarterly split, you know, something by customer type or product. And if I look at, okay, you know, Chandigarh is clearly my largest territory in this example. This is all dummy data. You'll see all the charts speak and interact with each other. So it's now telling me exactly what is going on for Chandigarh in the context of the other graphs. So, you know, I can see exactly what are the things that are going well if I look at, okay, this particular, you know, this particular piece is a part of my business not doing well. I can now click on that and see, you know, which of these territories are driving that. So while Chandigarh at an all-up level seems to have exceeded budget, for, you know, my strategic set of customers, they are clearly behind budget, which was not something that was as obvious and visible to me when I first looked at the all-up chart. So this ability to interact and this ability to slice and dice data, you know, right there in a visual form is something that we found really helpful in our, not only our leadership reviews, but, you know, even at a seller level when we look at, you know, at a manager trying to manage a territory, it's very, very compelling. To give you a sense of how easy it is to build some of these things, all I would do, say, is insert Power View. So, you know, just so you understand, this is not really complex. I can start dragging data right here. So this is actual. I just go and select the quarters that are relevant to me. And obviously I'm doing this quick and dirty, but just so you understand, I don't need to do anything to connect it. All these graphs, you know, automatically interact with each other because they're all sitting off the same pivot table. Just to give you a sense of some other interesting the same graphs and charts that we saw, we can actually pull up into Power BI, which is a capability which was, I think Satya just announced this yesterday. And you can actually go into an Excel file, you can go into a whole host of data sources and simply connect it right there and extract your data into these dashboard form factors. So I have, say, pulled up a whole bunch of this information right here, and you can then use this form factor to share it. So I can say, okay, this is data that I would like to, you know, push out to the rest of the organization. So I can simply share here and add the people who need to see this data and who need to be given access to this data. And the one other thing which is quite interesting is a natural language querying capability. So if we look at this example, this is an example of, it's a fun thing that someone put together on Olympic medal history. And I can look at a lot of this data right here, but I could also, for example, start asking some questions. So I could say medal count, and you know, it's generally giving me a medal count. That doesn't make much sense to me. So let me say 4 swimming, and okay, fine, but this also doesn't tell me anything. So let me say by country, and you'll now see that it's automatically detected that, you know, it says country, so let me change the form factor. And if I were to say, you know, in 2012, and I can then actually go down and look at by athlete name, and you know, it's changed the form factor and so on. So this is again a very, very interesting way of looking at your data. And one of the things which we found this is particularly useful for is, you know, leadership reviews, where you have literally, you know, folders and piles of data that people carry in, and at the point at which a conversation is going on, there is absolutely no way you're going to be able to shuffle down to, you know, page 50 to find that one data point that you're looking for. And in a lot of our reviews, we are able to use natural language querying to get to a lot of information in a very easy way. One of the things we're trying to do, which is something that is work in progress for us, is we're leveraging a lot of this technology to drive compliance within the organization. You know, so again, one of the typical problems is data is lying in lots of different sources. It doesn't necessarily speak to each other. So, you know, through power pivoting and then through power views and natural language querying, A, we are able to bring together a lot of this data, you know, publish it to the organization in a very simple way. And then, you know, and an example would be, say, if you have an anti-corruption policy that you're trying to drive adherence to, there'll be typical words that would be red flags. So, you know, what we are trying to do is use natural language querying to try and get to, you know, portions of the business. If I have a set of POs and, you know, I have a set of, you know, key words that I think are high, would I help identify high risk purchase orders, you know, we could actually use natural language querying to start narrowing down, you know, what could be high risk areas for us in the business. So it's as I said, you know, these are examples which are, you know, fun and interesting in some sense, because we can't always, you know, share some of our actual views. But it's very, very interesting if you think of the multiple ways, you know, across reporting, across, you know, predictive analysis, compliance, and various other areas, we are able to really leverage this technology across. So I'll stop here and I, you know, just see if there are any questions on anything that you saw or anything that I could help with. Does this make, I mean, does this resonate? Is this something that you think could be useful? When you say straight jacket, would you? So these formats is something that we designed for something that works for our organization. I think the way you could think about it is that some of these built-in capabilities make it very easy for you to extract information, aggregate information, as I said, and yes, you would have to aggregate it in a form factor that makes sense for your industry. Yeah.
Fall into this form. It may not. Our organization may have a whole host of kind of variables which I'm not sure they'll exactly fit in.
So these are things which are indicative. So for example, if you had another file where you have a bunch of this data, you could extract that and literally publish it into these dashboard views for the views that are relevant to your organization. So most of what you're seeing here is in this form factor simply because, you know, we like to share how we are using it within Microsoft. But the core capabilities and the core technologies are being used by customers in various industries and you know, various types of organizations. Because essentially what this, for example, is doing is building a very simple connector and giving you a platform to create a very nice dashboard kind of a view where, you know, if you have a data source, you could simply connect to that data source and start dragging and creating those dashboards right here. So, you know, your data sources, your parameters, your views will absolutely be different. But all this is doing is providing you an infrastructure to connect to your data.
Oh, but then are you convinced about the fact that this has got a universality to it?
I think this question is currently because we are connecting to lots of Microsoft tools back end, it could be any connector. But does it seamlessly connect to, say, my Salesforce CRM data? Or does it seamlessly connect to Oracle or SAP or all other kind of data in exactly seamless way and get me the front ends the way you have shown it?
Sure. So let me try and show you. I am not a technical person, as I said. But I can still try and address it to the extent that I can. So let's look at Excel. And Excel has some built-in capabilities on connecting to data sources. And I'm not saying it's a slam dunk. Yes, you might need somebody in IT to help you set this up as the one-time connection. But if we look at where all you could connect data from, so you know in Excel you'll have a tab called Power Query. You could get it from an Excel file, from a CSV file. You could get it from, let's look at this. You have SQL databases, you have Oracle, DB2, Sybase, Teradata, or you know, you could connect to Azure databases, you could connect to your Active Directory, you can connect to social media. So you know, we have a limited time out here, but you could actually, you know, if you're an organization which would like to analyze any kind of information on social media, you could actually extract that data into Excel in a structured data form. So if I actually do an online search here, and again, you know, we don't have the time, we'll be happy if you think this is interesting to spend time with you separately. But I could actually start searching for publicly available information and literally extract it into Excel in a structured data form. So I think yes, it's not, you know, something that will automatically happen. You will likely need somebody in your IT organization to help you build those connectors. But a lot of these capabilities are of building those connectors are less complex today than they probably were in the past. As you can see, as you know, a large number of those connectors are already set up within Excel itself. Does that help answer your question a little bit?
I'll be very frank with you. I'm still not completely convinced about it. Because, you know, kind of, I've had these situations where, you know, kind of, I've tried something like this,
yeah,
and then I've suddenly found gaps at some point in time.
Again, I think what some of this assumes is that there is data at the back end which one can use. So yes, you will need structured, clean data, because if your data is not structured right, anything you extract will not obviously...
No, sir. Does that mean I'm going back to reinventing the wheel as far as my data is concerned?
Sorry?
So is that mean I'm going back to reinventing the wheel as far as my data is concerned? Because, I mean, it's just taking me back in time. Okay. Based on something which I've already, you know, put in a lot of time and energy into.
Okay. So maybe we can separately set up that. I am likely not, getting the specific, situations or concerns that you might have run into.
There are too many variables involved. That's the issue. You know, just saying, okay, this is going to happen this way, and you know, this is what will come out.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure about.
So what she's actually trying to say, so to mix the two questions that you had, so you said that from Salesforce or Oracle or SAP or any other system, so the data source, one time you'll need to connect, and once you have that data in the Excel, right, the dashboards, etc., that you have to build, you could really build it as simply in like 2 minutes as she just showed it to you. You will not have to go back and forth with IT, giving them specifications and changing those specifications every time you need a dashboard or a visual representation, or as you said in a leadership review, you need some specific data point and you don't have it, you could just get it right there. Yes, it is very, very possible to connect to any kind of data source and pull that into.
I have a question. Does it actually substitute then JET reports?
Does
it actually substitute JET reports? Just JET reports is used on Navision or Dynamics to create reports.
Right.
And JET reports gives you the data through the data connector. I have a JET report which creates the dashboard.
Right.
For me. So I have tried some of that. I have not tried BI, Power Point. I have tried Pivot and Power to do. But I think then how is it different from a JET report, which Microsoft partner to get data?
Sure. I think one of the things it is helpful with is, A, as you can see, it connects to a lot of different data sources. So it's
so does JET reports. I use my workflows or my... Sorry.
So can I just step in? So I think what Mandira is trying to show and what we're trying to show here is a possibility. Let me take a step back and see, you know, this is data from Gartner, right? Any BI data warehouse project in the world, there is 70% failure rate, 70. And when you dwell deeper into those and say why those projects fail, the number one reason is the usability, right? That you put it in the hands of the user. What do you put in the hand of the user? Complex client tools, which they have to relearn, retrain them, and expect them to use those tools. What we are trying to tell you here is a possibility of staying within Excel, and how we have augmented Excel by building in ready-made connectors to your back-end data source, which you saw, which Amanda demonstrated. And to your point, it may not be as simple as just pulling out, seamlessly all the data. There may be some amount of plumbing required. But that plumbing will be required anyway for any data warehousing or BI project. What we are telling you is the presentation of that data could be in Excel. Right? So that your people who are so familiar using Office day in, day out, they don't have to step out to do BI on a different tool. So because of this, the usability will increase within your organization. You'll get more bang for your bucks.
Yeah.
That's the moot point, right? And we are addressing squarely that point in terms of why BI and data warehousing fail across organization, right? And there's another sub-point to that, which Gartner makes, that any project, BI project, which goes beyond 9 months to a year is bound to fail. That's a thumb rule, right? The moment you cross the chasm of 9 months to 12 months, that means you are heading towards a severely complex situation, IT situation, which you will take time and money to figure out. So your bell should start ringing at that point in terms of why it is taking so much of time.
Yeah.
what are we investing and putting our money into? And these are all expensive projects, right? The most expensive of the IT project would be a data warehousing project, a BI project for any industry. Does that make sense?
No, it doesn't convince me.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine, we can have a option.
No, your point is, does this replace JET reports? Maybe in some form, right? So you're saying you're comfortable using JET reports, which we partnered and built it on Dynamics, and you know that. Of course you can use that, right? I am just showing one more possibility. That's it.
Fair.
That's my point.
Right. Thank you. Fair. Appreciate it.
If I can just build on what Jitesh said, a lot of sessions that we do as finance with other customers' finance teams is simply what he said. You know, look, I've already bought Office. I already have Excel. And you know, instead of me now investing on something completely different, how can I maximize the ROI from the investment in the Office platform that I've already made? So we typically end up helping customers just use what they already have and what they've already bought from us in a far more rich and meaningful way. So that is clearly something that a lot of customers find very, very useful. That they've already bought a lot of these technologies, so they're just learning to use it in a more effective way.
And what you'll see as as this thing matures, the next phase of this, actually you'll see Excel connecting to Hadoop on the back end. You'll see that coming in the next 3-4 months. That's it. So we are saying that stay within Excel. If you want to do a big data project, nothing changes for you. You still stay in Excel and connect to your Hadoop cluster behind it.
You have made an excellent dashboard with the combination of certain graphs and all the things. Mm-hmm. And you also showed that can be sent to anybody. Mm-hmm. Who is concerned to that? Is it possible to get that data extract in Excel format again for further data churning for that person?
Yes, absolutely. So if you see, you can actually eventually drill down to the data sets itself. So what this does is it's just creating a presentation layer. That's basically what it's doing. But it will eventually all link back to the kind of access that you have. So I might publish to you a certain view of a certain graph from my dashboard, but there might be other data sets that I have that I don't want you to see. So eventually it will depend on what I am allowing you to see versus what I don't want you to see. But for the things that you have access to, you will be able to drill down and access those data sets as well.
No, my question is, I don't want to drill down that one.
Right.
I just want to use that, whatever the data you have given, I want to add few more columns with, say, some function.
Yeah.
Or a combination of some other data to that.
Okay.
So how I can convert that, this data.
So let me click on this.
So basically take a standard template and how do you customize it for your specific requirement?
Yeah, in the sense like I am not a decision maker for that one.
Right.
I want to convert that one into something else, which helped me to take my decision.
Right.
Sorry, I'm not connected to the wireless is a little slow here, so the filters aren't moving. But what will effectively happen is, as you can see, I clicked on this chart. And then if I want to apply certain filters differently, my entire filter pane will show up here. So I will be able to...
I think he's not asking from the source perspective. One who has generated this report and shared with somebody,
yes.
Can you send only that specific data to that person and then that person uses that specific data?
Yes, so you can...
To customize further.
Absolutely. So the power view which is underlying this is an Excel sheet. So most of the time what we do is we publish this onto our SharePoint site, so and literally share a link to say, look, this is where this data is published, and I think a lot of you see lots of different form factors here, and each of these will depend on what is your use scenario. So if I'm looking at sending something to my leadership team, I will likely not send them that 16 MB file. I will likely show them a dashboard summary view that they need to see. But for a larger audience where they need a lot more details and drill downs available, I will probably post that file and share a link that they can access and get into that level of detail. So I think the thing will be this, there will be no one size fits all for every individual in the company. And you know, we have, say for ourselves, over a period of time figured out, okay, to this audience I will send, you know, a summarized dashboard view. To this audience, you know, they need a lot more detail, and you know, if it's finance and sales operations teams, you know, they need to be able to access those drill down reports. And you know, in to this lot of people, let's send them, you know, they can customize it to the way they want. So to a lot of people, we simply share the power pivots, and they use those same power pivots to create completely different visualizations that are more relevant for them than, say, for me at an all-up company level versus, say, if somebody was sitting in a particular team somewhere. So there's a lot of flexibility with you know, how you would share these form factors, and you know, in what scenario, what is relevant is something you could define, you know, depending on the way your organization is structured. Okay, Himani says we have run out of time, so in case there are any other questions, I will probably be around, and I think there will be Microsoft's contacts shared with you. As I said, we spend a lot of time with our customer finance teams, you know, trying to help them work through some of these things. So if any of you would like to, you know, have someone spend a little more time with you, just feel free to let us know. Thank you.